In today's gospel, we see an image of Holy Mother Church in her present state. We see an image of the thousands and thousands of Catholics who are like sheep without a shepherd. We see a great crowd with nothing to eat, a great crowd of people who are hungry. There are so many people who are hungry for God, hungry for the truth, hungry for the things of God. A great crowd that includes a very large number of lost sheep that in many cases have little hope of being found and rescued because their shepherds don't really care for them. And if it is not their shepherds, who is going to rescue them? But those shepherds who don't care for them are not true shepherds. They are hired men, hirelings who don't really care for their sheep. That's an image of Mother Church, a sad image, but a true one. But our religion is a religion of hope. The one true religion, the Catholic religion, is a religion of hope. Hope is something we need to nurture in ourselves and in those around us. Hope is one of the most important virtues. It's one of the three theological virtues, together with faith and charity. It is a virtue that is given to us together with sanctifying grace when we are baptized, a virtue that we need to live and to practice, a virtue that needs to grow and increase in our souls every single day, because we must grow in holiness every single day. And when we do, all these virtues grow too. And this means that there's never a good excuse for despair or even for the wrong kind of sadness, the sadness that comes from hopelessness or from some other sin. Today's gospel gives us hope because it tells us that when Jesus saw this great crowd of people and he saw that they were hungry, he felt compassion for them and he took care of them. He multiplied the bread and the fishes and everybody ate and was satisfied. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have compassion on the crowd, for behold, they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." This gives us hope because in so many ways we are just like those people. We have been with Christ, we have followed him, and we have listened to his word, to his message. And even though we live in a world that doesn't feed us with the things of God, but instead makes us go hungry because it is a world that has rejected God, and since it doesn't have him, it cannot give him to us, and since it doesn't know him, it cannot lead us to him. Even though we are like this great crowd and we are hungry because we have almost no spiritual food, because we live in a world that is a spiritual desert, barren and godless, still we remain with him. We remain with our Lord like the crowd in the gospel, who had nothing to eat, but were still there with him, and apparently had no plans of going anywhere, even though they didn't have any food. We do the same, and we remain with him, hoping that he will take care of us, trusting that he will take care of us. We trust him, and he does take care of us, and so we all should be grateful and thankful for this, because he provides, God provides. He gives us the sacraments, he gives us means of sanctification, he gives us more than mere glimpses of the truth, even in this world of lies and deceit. He gives us light, even in this world of darkness. There is a way to find the truth and to find the light for those people of goodwill who want to find it. He gives us clarity and teaches us the truth, even in this world of confusion and error and falsehoods. He gives us his love, even in this world that has rejected his love. And so he gives us joy, and he gives us hope. So there is hope. We are hungry for God, and we know that we cannot rely on the world. We know that we cannot rely on those hirelings, those bad shepherds, who in so many ways have corrupted Holy Mother Church. But we know, because we have hope, that we can rely on him. We can rely on our Lord. That we know that we can rely on Christ. And that we can rely on Mother Church too. Because no matter how evil we may be, Mother Church remains being holy. She is holy, just like she is one, and just like she is Catholic and Apostolic. We rely on Christ, we rely on Holy Mother Church, and we know that only through Christ and through his Church we may attain salvation. We trust in the Lord, and so St. Paul tells the Galatians, and he tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Our Lord Jesus Christ is faithful, and we can always rely on him. There is no excuse for despair. There is no excuse even for pessimism. And this doesn't mean that we need to fall into the modern blind and false optimism of those who say that we are in the best of times. Those people who even talk about a springtime in the church, we must not fall either in pessimism or in this false optimism. Like always, virtue is found in the middle, in the golden mean, and we can say that the golden mean between pessimism and the false optimism is simply a love for the truth, a love for objectivity, something that we can call mere realism. Seeing things like they really are, seeing things like God sees them. And so because we are realists, we have no problem in admitting the sad reality, the terrible crisis that Mother Church is going through. But at the same time, we know that there is hope because we trust in our Lord and in his promises, which are another reality that we see with the eyes of faith and that we acknowledge to be true. So we have hope, we must be filled with hope, and we have to do what St. Paul tells us. Put on the breastplate of faith and charity, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So we don't make the terrible mistake of losing hope and falling into despair, and we don't make the mistake of thinking that there is nothing to worry about either, that there is nothing to pray intensely about, that there is no such thing as a crisis. We always bear in mind that hope is also in the middle between two mistakes, in the middle between two sins, despair and presumption. We know that there is no excuse for despair, but we also know that we must not be presumptuous. We know, thanks to God, that we must work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Now, another thing that we must bear in mind always is the fact that if we are aware of what Mother Church is going through, if we are aware of the difficulties through which the Church is going, this is only because God has granted us such a grace. And so this should humble us instead of making us think that since we know what's wrong nowadays, we are much better than all those who have no clue, who have no idea. As a matter of fact, those who have received the grace of being able to realize the crisis and the necessity of doing something about it, those who have received this grace will be held accountable for much more than those who never received this grace. We all know that only the saints can save Mother Church from this state of crisis. Only saints can save her, just like in the past, It was the saints that helped Mother Church triumph over all her enemies and survive through all her difficulties. We know that God promised that the Church will last until the end of times. There is no doubt about this. But we know also that God needs people to work his miracles. He chooses to need our cooperation. He doesn't need it, but he chooses to need our cooperation. Today, for example, in the gospel, he didn't really need the 7 loaves that his disciples had, but still he asked them for all they had, and they gave him the 7 loaves and a few little fishes, and he worked the miracle, and he multiplied them by the thousands. And they were able to feed 4,000 people, and even more than that. Did he really need anything from his disciples? Not really, but he wanted their cooperation. Just like when he multiplied the bread and fishes for the more than 5,000 men, that one time it was a little boy, the one that had a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. And Jesus asked him for them and then worked his miracle. We know that the gates of hell will not prevail against the Church, but for this, God will need people who are willing and ready to use his graces for the good and for the survival of Mother Church. God has always found these saints throughout history, and Mother Church has been saved from the most outrageous attacks. But now the attacks against her are more outrageous than ever, and so the need for saints is more serious than ever. Knowing that Mother Church needs more than ever in her whole history, the presence and the work and the holiness of true saints, knowing that true saints are more needed now than ever in the history of the Catholic Church, should make us realize how serious this is and what this means for all of us, how great our responsibility is, how great our obligation of becoming saints is, and for how much we will be held accountable. There's another reality that should give us much hope and much joy. It's the fact that living in this world, in these times, times of paganism, times of hatred of the truth and hatred of virtue and hatred of life and hatred of God, living in this world and in these times gives us, in a very special way, the chance to fulfill our purpose as Christians, which is to join Jesus Christ in his cross, in his death, so that one day we may also join him in his resurrection. St. Paul reminds us of this today. He tells us that we were baptized into Christ and into his death, and this means that we were crucified with him in baptism, and we died to sin, and we started living in newness of life. We started living the life of grace. He says that our old self was crucified with him, and therefore we are not slaves to sin anymore. This is what St. Paul means when he says that we were baptized into the death of Christ. But this being baptized into his death, this dying to sin, this dying with him on the cross, is something that happens for the first time in baptism, but it is something that must keep happening every day of our lives. We were baptized in order to die with him every day of our lives. We have to make our baptism a reality every day. We have to live our baptism promises every day, and this means joining Christ in his cross every day. The world in which we live, this world that hates God, gives us many chances every day to die with Christ. Never have the world and the flesh and the devil been more active than nowadays, and never have they achieved so many victories in their fight as they have in the last decades. We can see the fruit of their work in society. We can see it in the crisis of the Church. We can see it in the crisis of morality. We can see it in today's world's acceptance and worship of practices that were rejected as unnatural and evil, even by primitive pagan societies. But we have to remember that these enemies of the soul, the enemies of God, They destroy societies by attacking and destroying individuals first. And this is why we are always in so much danger. This is why there are always so many occasions of sin. Satan makes sure that there are many occasions for people to fall into sin. But again, all this enables us to join our Lord in his cross, to die to sin every day, and to join him in his death every day. This is what we were baptized for. This is what we were created for. And we know that now, more than ever, our Lord and Mother Church need saints. We know that our responsibility and our duty of being saints is even greater than it was for men of other times. And we have hope because we know that God will provide the grace that we will need to fulfill our mission and to become saints. He knows that we are like the great crowd of people in today's gospel. He knows that we want to follow him, to listen to him, and to stay with him. He knows that we are hungry for him. He knows that we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we hunger for holiness. And so he provides the graces we need. But we must use those graces in order to be the saints that he wants us to be. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.